From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters. And just a note, this episode is about a sex addict that we met, and he speaks pretty frankly about addiction and desire.
Well, since we're nearby, do you mind popping over to... I've been calling them hot spots. I don't know if that's an appropriate term, but I'm just thinking of like an area that is like pertinent to the story that we're trying to tell.
Yeah, that's pretty appropriate.
There's a really hard spot for me to go, but I actually don't think we can go there right now because our kids might actually be playing next to it. But we can walk down to... there's a strip club down the way that's significant, I think. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Let's maybe walk down here. Actually, this street leads to... There's another spot.
Here's this place. It looks like nothing right now. In fact, it looks like it's not even here. Gates are down. It looks like an abandoned building. But at night, they open those up, and it's not abandoned. It's got neon signs and stuff underneath it. It's a little low-key, though. It doesn't stick out like a lot of places. This place actually was, as I discovered the secrets to it, it became harder to resist because I knew I could come here. So, and kind of get what I wanted. Another spot. I'm a little apprehensive about going there because my kids might be in the park across the street. I mean, it's funny that's right next to a playground. Luna has all access to all the money. She can see whatever I spend. In fact, the other day, I didn't tell her I was somewhere and she figured out where I was because I bought something there. And then she controls all the bills. She controls the phone bill. She can look and see, like she can see the text messages or the text messages came from you. She doesn't look at it in that detail, but it's there and she can reference it if she wants. I've got my phone being tracked, my watch being tracked, my computer being tracked. So she knows, she can see where I'm at if she needs to. And the arrangement is I don't mess up. And if I do, it's going to cost probably everything this time.
What's everything?
She's going to take the kids. She's from another country. She'll probably go back there if she has to. I mean, that really is the arrangement. And the only reason I'm still here and relatively safe and sane is probably because of her.
Is Sagittarius still there?
Yeah. He doesn't have much control at the moment just because, I have $50. I have $50 cash. Not in my pocket, but I have $50 cash. It's $45 now. I bought something today, which I've debated hanging on to. I really should just give it to Luna because if that turns into $100, you know, if I just keep saving up dollars here and there, eventually I'll have the opportunity and Sagittarius can come out.
What's keeping you right now from, like, today, taking that money and giving it to Luna?
Sagittarius. After telling you, though, I think I might. This is the, looks like a law office day spa, but it's not. that window right there, there's a room there. There's a room there. There's a window inside. It's funny that it seems so close to the outside.
So what happens when you go in this building? Or when Sagittarius goes in this building, rather?
So right through that door, there's a door. And you either call ahead or you knock. Either way, you knock. And someone will open the door. It'll be a barely dressed Asian woman. And they'll take you to a room. They'll take your money, and then they'll disappear for a little bit. I don't really know what they do. They probably go put the money in a safe or something. And then they come into the room and you start the thing. There's no questions. They know what you're there for. We could go look at it if you want. I don't know if they have cameras out here actually. You can see the door at least.
Yeah.
It's open to the
data. Yeah.
That's the door on the right. They heard that. I'm waiting right now.
Yeah.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
the same part of the brain as hunger.
The podcast about
the unknown.
Okay, so I believe this is the first email. The date is May 5th, 2016. Subject, the monster Sagittarius. Hi, Jeff, or possibly someone else who screens HBM emails. I really love your podcast and have just finished listening to all of the back episodes. The last episode, episode 60, I listened to in the waiting room of the doctor who now prescribes me medication for behavior control issues related to sexual addiction. It's scary sometimes how easily I can relate to people that have been to prison or have had serious consequences as a result of what is essentially the same behavior I struggle with. I'd be willing to tell my story if maybe it could let people see that sex addiction isn't actually all that fun. I'm actually a nice and kind person with kids, a family. People say I'm generous, but there is this hidden story I have that few people know about me.
Test, test, test. 2017, April 18th, 11 o'clock at night. Where are we?
Battery Park?
Yeah. Why'd you want to come here as far as like places to take me?
Well, one, you can see the Statue of Liberty nicely. Yeah. Other than that, I come by here usually... When I do a ride around Manhattan, I do it late at night, and I usually take a break around here. Also, it reminds me of my dad for some reason. I think he came to visit once, and he didn't really want to see anything. He just kind of wanted to see the Statue of Liberty, so it makes me think of him. I think he and I probably have a lot of similarities. He had some similar issues to myself, so I relate to him.
What kind of similar issues?
He definitely had addiction issues. He was more cocaine and alcohol. but along with that came infidelity and a lot of like extramarital sex stuff. And he would, as like a teenager, he would like tell me about it. Like him and my mom, they divorced when I was maybe 10 or so. Yeah. Like, late teens, early 20s, he would just tell me what he was doing. He thought it was funny. I guess it was funny, but yeah, he'd tell me about his escapades with women he found at bars and how much they drank and if they did need drugs, and he's just an open person like that.
Yeah. Do you think that affected you at all or not?
I don't think that did really. I never really felt like I was following his example. I just found myself later in life doing some of the things that he had done, really. And I wasn't thinking about him. But as I've tried to find a way out of it, I've thought about him a lot more.
Yeah. I really debated whether or not to ask you this next question, but so if this is over the line, by all means.
There's nothing over the line.
Okay. Okay. I was just kind of wondering if you could run down just kind of what it is we're actually talking about, like what these things that you feel bad about are.
Okay. Yeah. First off, there's lying to Luna so that I could go have sex with someone who was not Luna. I've walked, driven, flown great distances just to have sex with a person that has offered. But I'm saying I now. But that's when, in the moment, it's Sagittarius.
Sex with a prostitute. Dangerously unprotected. Obsessive sex. Focus. The triggers are everywhere. $100,000. Manipulate dates. My daughter's nanny. Move meetings. Make excuses. Read facts. One purpose. Whenever I wanted. One purpose.
Who is Sagittarius, and where did that name come from?
Sagittarius, I would describe, is me when I'm not me. He wants to have sex with some woman, any woman, doesn't matter. And he will lie to whoever he has to. He'll pay whatever he has, money-wise. Like, right now, I know that I'm the one that is doing all that stuff. And it's easier for me to talk about if I talk about Sagittarius. So I'm aware of him, like, all the time. But in the moments when I get weak, it's like he's not aware of me. And I'm not driving anymore.
Why Sagittarius? Why that name?
I was looking for something to call it. And so I followed up on like the myth of Sagittarius. And Sagittarius was like the sex-crazed half goat, half man. You know, the name has a punch to it. It sounded like a good code name.
Did you use that as a code name?
No. You guys are actually probably the first people I told that to.
The title of the email, you know, it was The Monster Sagittarius, you know, yeah. Which is quite an evocative title for an email.
Yeah. The monster is the guy that doesn't care about how anyone else feels. Maybe so much what happens to them. I got caught pretty bad in a bad situation. Luna woke me up in the middle of the night by punching me in the face. You know, I don't blame her. She was mad. This is so many times around, and she was just frustrated. And our daughter was in the bed with us, and she's yelling to stop, and I'm just trying to stop her from hitting me, and Luna's yelling, and this is all happening in my mom's house, you know.
What happened?
I had... We were staying, we're with my mom in another state, like where I come from. We were visiting for like a month during the summer, and I'd gone out to pick up my grandmother to bring her over for dinner. And on the way to get my grandmother, me and Sagittarius, we looked up on the way in the car driving, Craig's listed a hooker that was en route to where my grandmother was, stopped, got money, went in, had sex with her, continued on to get my grandmother and brought her home to my house for dinner. For a while I collected, I kept a running list of how many people there were and kind of what happened. So I wrote down somewhere in there, I wrote down kind of like the kind of a description of what had happened. I had jotted it down and didn't really think of it after. I actually forgot about it. And then, Luna had a feeling that something was up. So while I was asleep, she went looking through my phone. She found that description and she lost it. The next morning she took the kids and left and said, "Don't come home."
Then what happened?
Then, the next day, I found another girl on Craigslist, and while my mom and the rest of the family were out, and again, like right there in the bed where Luna just punched me in the face the night before.
What happened after that?
I spent several more days there, and eventually Luna called. She asked me what I'd been doing. Actually, I didn't tell her about that at the time. I told her, I honestly don't remember what I told her, but I know I didn't tell her about that. But she said, "I've been doing some research about this and it's really hard to beat, but if you're willing to give me control of all the money, of all communication, of all the bills, of all the mail, basically of any way to, you know," she designed the cage right there. And I said, "Yeah, I'll do it. You know, as long as you let me come home."
If your children grew up to be the spitting image of you, would you be proud of them or not?
Sure. There's more to me than this one thing, and there would clearly be more to them than their flaws. So yeah, of course I'd be proud of them. The thing I feel worst about is just putting Luna through the ringer over and over and over again, and then I'm amazed that she stuck by me. I really am amazed. Like every time she's caught me at least 6 times. And each of those was bad. Each of those could have been the end. Each of those almost was the end. She found a way to stick it out and stay around for me.
Like why do you think she did though?
I'm sure it's complex. I'm sure there's several reasons. One of which is we have kids together. One is we've tied our financial futures together. Those are practical reasons, but it took me a while to understand and actually to believe this. But at the end of the day, I think she actually just loves me. And I think I would lose sight of that, especially in the day-to-day of like a long, mature relationship. It's not always apparent. And I would kind of just forget and think it didn't matter, but she's always the one that pulled it through in the end. I'm looking at an email from May 8th, 2016. I believe it was our second email, and the subject line is "The Monster Sagittarius." "Sometimes there is no resisting. Statistically, relapses are pretty commonplace for sex addiction. I've been to a few behavioral therapists, and they all expected me to relapse, and I have. I tried to lie about it to the first therapist, and that didn't work. They can read liars. One therapist I talked to, John,
described sex addiction as one of the hardest behaviors to kick because it's an innate drive. He said it inhabits the same part of the brain as hunger. The addiction is to the endorphin release that sex causes in the brain. Endorphins resemble opiates. Add into that compulsive behavior, and there's your sex addict, Sagittarius. We had to build a cage for Sagittarius.
Like, after today, I'll be able to think back, and I can remember your face, I can remember talking to the microphone, and I'll be able to remember that. And I'll be able to see it behind my eyelids, right? Like when you close your eyes. In like the sex acts with prostitutes or anyone, even Luna, I cannot remember it. I can't close my eyes and see it. And that is, I think that's part of what makes you want to repeat it over and over again. It's like you want the feeling back. You want the, you want to be able to pull that situation up.
Like, here's what I really want to know. It's like, why did you write us? Like, what prompted you to write us an email?
So I wrote you an email because I heard an episode that you guys did. I should have looked. I forget what it's called. It was about the guy who was in the facility outside of, where was it?
The episode, I think, is called The Predators of McNeil Island.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that one. And that guy said something. He said he was trying to get off the island. And he had a hearing or something, a court hearing, court date. And he said, I know for a fact that I will never do what I did again.
Fantasies like that are almost anathema to me these days. It's so completely repulsive that I wouldn't even be able to conceive of it these days.
And just in my experience, that didn't ring true. I don't know that I'm not going to do this again. I'd like to not do it again, but there's no way I can know that I'm not gonna. If I found $100 bill on the sidewalk right here, by the end of the week, I would have had sex with someone else.
So what happened to that $45?
I still got it. It's in my backpack. Yeah, it's still there. I haven't thought about it much since the other day. I don't know. I mean, I am hopeful. I'm naturally an optimistic, hopeful person. But I'm also a realist. So I am concerned that I might not make it with Luna and with our kids.
How thin is the ice right now?
It's not super thin, but it could melt very easily, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
$100, right?
Yeah, $100. That'd melt the ice. That'd thaw the entire lake or ocean.
Sagittarius told us that he's been faithful for over a year now. So far, his cage seems to be holding. Sagittarius first emailed us after listening to an episode that we produced about civil commitment for sex offenders. It's episode 60, and it's called The Predators of McNeil Island. You can find that episode on your podcast app or over on our website, which is hbmpodcast.com. Also on our website, you can see pictures of the mythical Sagittarius, who isn't actually half man, half goat, but half man, half horse. He's a centaur. We also have links out to resources on sexual addiction. Again, we're at hbmpodcast.com. Bethany Denton produced this episode with help from me, Jeff Entman. Our editor at KCRW is Nick White. Music in this episode came from Phantom Fauna and The Black Spot. We also remixed some music that Sagittarius made while he was in college, which is what you're hearing right now. Here Be Monsters is a part of the Independent Producer Project from KCRW. KCRW is currently running a membership drive, and joining KCRW shows your support for this podcast and other projects like it. You can learn about the benefits of being a KCRW member and sign up at kcrw.com/join, and you can tell them that we sent you. All right, thanks for listening. Our last two episodes of season 5 are coming soon.
This is a question I've never asked before, but is the wavering in your voice temperature based or is it emotional based?
It's a little more temperature right now. Okay. Sorry. I became conscious of it just a minute ago.
If you are getting too cold.
Oh, no, I'm not cold.
Okay.
Just because I'm wavering doesn't mean I'm cold.
Okay.
I can go much colder than this.
I honestly think if we went right
Let's
there.
Let's go over there. I learned how not to be cold when I was 10 years old.
Oh, yeah?
Wait. The Boy Scouts.
Wait, tell me.
So I was in the Boy Scouts. I was 10 years old. I was probably older at this point. Maybe 11, maybe 12. And I had not learned how to dress for a winter camp out yet. We went camping once a month, no matter what. If it was raining, we went camping out once and the wind chill was at times 70 below zero. Actually froze my ear solid. I was out. I was just wearing sweatpants and it's just cold. And I was freezing, but I had two more days to go. So you just do what you got to do. And there wasn't anything I could do about it other than just like stop being cold. It was a mental thing. Like you're just not cold right now. Like I froze my ear solid. That hurt for a month, you know.